Welcome back. Yes, sinners in the hands of an angry God. You know, and my master, Yeshua, when he began his ministry, he went about to preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I'm certainly not greater than my master. It seems like a strange statement to even say that, that someone could even think that they're as great as Yeshua, our master. But I'm not greater, so I preach and I bid all to repent, to cross the border into his kingdom. You don't want to end up a sinner in the hands of an angry God. And how do you satisfy the anger of a righteous and the justice of our Heavenly Father? Well, he already satisfied it. You just repent, because the kingdom is at hand. And when you repent, his anger is assuaged. His anger against a disobedient generation, a disobedient people, is assuaged. His heart melts for you because he loves you. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to pay the price for your own sins. That's why he's angry. He's provided a way for you. He's provided a way for all of us to escape death. He became a man. He laid down his life. He paid the price for our sin. He had the plan from the beginning. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that most people throughout history, the history we're reading about here in the scripture, it's just so evident that the majority of people will not take advantage of his provision for their escape from that judgment, because they hate his law. They're willful. They want to do what they want to do. They don't believe him. They don't believe that they will be satisfied by obedience to his commandments. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you will be satisfied by obedience to his commandments? That's what faith is. If I do what he tells me to do, I will be more satisfied by being obedient to his will for my life than by going my own way and doing what is right in my own sight. That's what faith commands us. That's what faith demands. And that's the only way that we can live in his kingdom, is to believe that what he desires for our life is going to be better for us than any other path we can take. You know, and when people say, "No, what I want to do, my will is better," they're saying that I know better than the Almighty. They're putting themselves in his place. They're becoming their own God. Can you see that? Can you see the willfulness in that? Have faith. Believe him. Believe that what he desires for your life, his will, his commandments, his ways, his statutes, and his judgments are the very best thing for your life. That if you desire to follow him, and you do follow him, that things will never be better. I'm not saying that there won't be any suffering, there won't be any persecution, there won't be any tribulation in life, because certainly there will be. And those things will be whether you follow him or not. You just say, if you're willful and you attempt to follow him, and the temptation and the persecution and the suffering come, then you will blame him for it and depart, because you are willful. But if you follow him and you don't blame him, if you realize that the reason for the sin and the suffering and the pain is to, one, perfect you, to, two, judge sin in the flesh, if you realize the truth of these things, then you won't blame him. You'll give glory to him, and your faith will only grow. So really what this life is about, it is about us. It is to see what sort of people we are. Who do you want to be? That's determined by the decisions you make. Will you live a righteous life? Will you love your neighbor as yourself? Will you love the Heavenly Father and love your neighbor as yourself? Or will you just be selfish and self-deluded and self-serving and willful? You get to decide. But you might say, no matter how hard I try, I just can't seem to be good. I know that feeling. I tried hard, and the harder I tried, the seemed the harder it was to do what was right. But I surrendered. One day I surrendered. I just said to the Heavenly Father, I want to be chosen. I don't know how to do good. It's not in me, but I'm not letting go. I'm going to follow you no matter what it takes, and I'm not going to allow anything to separate me from you. Not my own willfulness, not my own sinfulness, not my own inability to do what's right. Absolutely nothing is going to separate me from following hard after you. Teach me obedience. I don't care what it takes. The price is too high for me to give up. The price is too high for me to walk away. Fear God. It's the beginning of knowledge. Keep His commandments. Learn obedience. There's nothing more important. Turn from your evil ways. Repent. And you repent by just admitting, starting to admit that you're wrong, that you need to change, that what you're doing with your life isn't pleasing to Him. And ask Him to help you change those things. Ask Him to help you change your mind. Ask Him to help you, to teach you obedience. And He will. Just don't let anything turn you back. Seek Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with everything that you have. And love your neighbors yourself. That's what He asks. That's all He asks. He won't turn you away. Don't want to be a sinner in the hand of an angry God. Repent. And His anger is assuaged, and He will teach you obedience. We're in Exodus, chapter 7, around verse, I will harden the Pharaoh's heart, verse 3, and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, that Pharaoh shall not hearken unto me, that I may lay my hand upon Pharaoh, upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I, Yahuwah, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as Yahuwah commanded them. So did they. And Moses was 80 years old. He was 80 years old. And Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show me a miracle for you, then you shall say to Aaron, take the rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as Yahuwah had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and also they did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as Yahuwah had said. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. And my friend who I was talking about, who brought an accusation against the Almighty for drowning all of those Egyptians in the sea, he said to me, he says, look, Pharaoh hardened his heart. I mean, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, that God, he said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But what does this mean? That, he hardened him in his own ways. Because Pharaoh, look at what he was doing. And he did this to bring judgment on Egypt. But, again, you can't bring an accusation. Who are we? Mere men, to bring an accusation against our Creator. Who do we think we are? Are we going to put ourselves in the place of God? Are we going to judge the Almighty? Anyway, Exodus 7:14, "And Yahuwah said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink, against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thy hand, and thou shalt say unto him, Yahuwah, God of the Hebrews, has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou would not hear. Thus saith Yahuwah, In this thou shalt know that I, Yahuwah, that I am. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which were in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river." Chapter 7, verse 19. "And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take the rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon the rivers, and upon their ponds, and all of their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as Yahuwah commanded, and he lifted up the rod, and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood, and the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments." What did they do? If all their vessels were filled, what did they do? Bring out a vessel of blood and say, look, we can do it too. And they pour water out of the vessel. But anyway, it says here that the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He's going, hey, look, my magicians can do that too. Huh. So your God is nothing. So I mean, really what we have here is the showdown of the gods of Egypt and Yahuwah, the Almighty God. And every time, Pharaoh's heart is hardened even more. And you can see, you know, being the man that he is, how this is happening. So, and all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that Yahuwah had smitten the river. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith Yahuwah, Let my people go, that they may serve me. We're in chapter 8, verse 1. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon the people, and upon the ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon the people, and upon all thy servants. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. You know, I don't get this. You know, if it's already done, how do the Egyptians do it? But basically, well, they convince Pharaoh that they're doing it too. Hey, look, we're doing it too. Okay. And so Pharaoh hardened his heart, right? So they did, and they brought frogs upon the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat Yahuwah that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go. Yeah, give them a couple days with these frogs. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, look, we can bring up frogs too. But, you know, I mean, if your house was filled with frogs and they were all outside and you couldn't even keep them out of your bed, and they're in your food and your kneading troughs and your ovens and in your kitchen and every bowl and every plate is covered with frogs, you don't want your magicians to bring more frogs up and go, look, we can do that too. You want them to make the frogs go away. So obviously the point here is that, hey, his magicians couldn't make the frogs go away. I mean, really the only thing they did was turn their sticks into serpents too. But Aaron's stick ate, you know, serpent ate, swallowed their serpents up. You know, they did that by their magic. But any magic that they've done after that, you know, they couldn't make the blood go away. They could pretend to make it come. They couldn't make the frogs go away. They could pretend to make them come. But so now here's Pharaoh going. He's calling for Moses and Aaron. And he says, oh, entreat Yahuwah. And he wouldn't be going, entreat Yahuwah, because he's already talked to his magicians. He's going, make these frogs go away. And they couldn't do it, obviously. So he has to call on Moses and Aaron. He's saying, entreat Yahuwah. And he uses the name, the Tetragrammaton here. And there's a little more here, 4:13. He makes El, make El, the God Yahuwah. So he's using, you know, God and the name, the term El or Elohim. He's saying, entreat the God Yahuwah that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go. He's exasperated, that they may do sacrifice unto Yahuwah. Then Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for the people, to destroy the frogs from thee, and from thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. Yeah, make the frogs go away tomorrow. So I mean, you know, okay, it's going to happen tomorrow. So I mean, timing is important so that you know that whoever says when what is going to happen, it's going to happen. Because the frogs are going to stay till tomorrow, so it's not going to be an accident that they go away. Because he could say, well, it wasn't really, you know, El, your God, Yahuwah, that made the frogs go away. So he said, tomorrow. He said, according to thy word, that you may know that there is none like unto Yahuwah, our God, our Elohim. You know, just think, you have all your gods in Egypt, but there is none like ours. So tomorrow, at your word, tomorrow morning, those frogs will be gone. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy house and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. So not only are the frogs going to go away, but they're going to go away from everywhere except for the river, that he may know that there is none like Yahuwah, our God, our Elohim. None of your gods, none of your magicians, and none of your magic tricks can do this. So, and Yahuwah did according to the word of Moses, and all the frogs died out of the houses and of the villages and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as Yahuwah had said. And Yahuwah said to Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. So, I mean, it's getting worse and worse here. I'm not sure that the blood of the water is still blood, but they've got dead, stinking frogs, and the river's full of frogs now. And they've got heaps of stinking frogs because they had to clean them all out of their houses and everywhere, out of the land. I'm sure if they had bulldozers and loaders and trucks, they'd be taking them out as fast as they could with all the equipment that they had. And these are people that aren't used to working either. And they got to clean out all these dead frogs. So now they got lice. And he stretched out his rod. In verse 17, Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. I mean, you're walking around and the lice are just being kicked up like dust. Wow. That would be bad news. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. But they could not. So there were lice upon man and lice upon beast. They couldn't convince Pharaoh this time that they were actually bringing lice. The dust was everywhere. The lice were everywhere. And they couldn't. They couldn't make the frogs go away either. They convinced him that they could make the frogs come, and perhaps they could, I don't know. But they couldn't make them go away. That's the real power, is to make the frogs come and to make the frogs go. If you could only make them come at the same time that Yahuwah is making them come, well, who's really doing the work? Who's really being glorified by the frogs or the lice? But the one who makes them come, and the one who can make them go away too. So, verse 19, and the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of Elohim. You know, they're saying, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as Yahuwah said. Even though the magician said, they finally gave up. They said, man, we couldn't make the frogs go. We can't make lice come or go either. Pharaoh, this is the finger of Elohim, of an almighty God. Yet, Pharaoh hardens his heart. And we're going to pick up here tomorrow. But remember, as always, there is nothing more important in this life that you cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, the kingdom of heaven, and live forever. Then you will be truly home free.